Welcome back to an all-new season of Cut the Chat Life Science Insider podcast. Season 2, Episode 1 is hosted by SUSPLUS CEO and co-founder Sabina Hutchison. Cut the Chat promises to facilitate the conversations that you've been dying to hear and tackle the real crux of our industry's challenges. So let's get this new season started and let's get this episode underway. Let's cut the chat.
So welcome to the first podcast of 2024. We have some exceptional guests lined up for you this year, and I'm delighted to start the season with a very informative and engaging conversation with Stephanie Oesterreich. Today's session is Bridging the Gap, Accelerating the Path to Cure with Strategic Funding Solutions. So let me share with you a bit about the Myeloma Investment Fund. It's a specialty fund that invests in promising companies, clinical assets, and technologies in oncology to drive the development of new therapies in multiple myeloma. The MIF collaborates closely with its portfolio companies to help them advance multiple myeloma research. And this evergreen fund is supported entirely by philanthropy. All profits will be reinvested back into research for more effective treatments until there is a cure for every patient. So let me introduce you to our first guest, Stephanie Oesterreich. She's the Managing Director of the Myeloma Investment Fund, the MIF. She serves on the boards of the German-American Business Council in Boston and the Harvard Kennedy School Women's Network, and is also the chair of the McCloy Alumni Association. She's on the faculty of MIT, a member of the Launchpad Venture Group, where she's an advisor to numerous organizations, including Invitris, CART company CellTX, and to the drug and development investment company Orange Grove Bio. Additionally, she works on the W20 Enterprise Task Force and the official engagement group of the G20. Stephanie has held leadership roles in biotechs, including the chief business officer at Galecto, vice president at cell therapy company Pneumotherapeutics, venture partner at RA Capital, and executive vice president at Evotech, where she built its North American investment arm and started an incubator with Samsara BioCapital. She has worked as an international business leader at Hoffmann La Roche and Novartis in business development and commercial. Stephanie conducted the research and her PhD in biochemistry in the lab of a Nobel Prize winner at Harvard Medical School and obtained an MPA from the Harvard Kennedy School. And another interesting bit of information around Stephanie is that she's a semi-professional violinist, performing with the Philharmonic Orchestras in Carnegie Hall and other international venues, conducting workshops with live orchestras. And she loves the idea of demonstrating the similarities between teams and leadership in music and management. So Stephanie, thanks very much. And I'm so excited to have you on the first episode of 2024. So thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
It's wonderful to be with you. And I'm very excited to tell the listeners about the Myeloma Investment Fund.
Really excited to get into this as well. You know, we were fortunate that we had the chance to actually sit together at in San Francisco, JP Morgan this year. So it was nice for us to actually meet face to face, because I think all of our engagement thus far has been virtual. So it was great to actually sit with you. And the MIF is a very interesting fund. And what I'm really curious, maybe we'll start the conversation with today, is what are some of the biggest challenges that you're facing, especially in myeloma research funding? And how is the MIF working to overcome these?
Let me start by giving you a little bit of a history and some connections. The Multiple Myeloma Research Foundation was started 25 years ago by a patient who is actually still alive and doing well. The foundation provides information for patients about this devastating hematological or liquid tumor disease. So it's a cancer, but not a solid, but a hematological tumor. And what the foundation does is it's providing information to patients, but it's also financing and operating clinical trials. And with that, we have very good relationships with the experts in this disease area, a lot of the key opinion leaders, and also the different centers in the United States where the patients are being treated. About 5 years ago, the Myeloma Investment Fund was started because there was a notion that there is actually not enough emphasis on the still devastating disease from a research standpoint. There was a notion that there are a lot of therapies already on the market. There's a lot of therapies that are being investigated in research and clinical trials. And some were saying we are at quote unquote peak myeloma. We don't need additional therapies. But that's totally not true, because unfortunately, the patients actually advance in their disease and ultimately die. And that's why we are trying to get a cure for every single patient through additional research, development, and therapies. So the Myeloma Investment Fund is providing financing for seed stage and Series A type companies. And we have currently 11 active investments. Mm-hmm. We have two exits. One company was bought by a pharma company and another one went public. And we're looking into many new investment opportunities right now. And we also want to support our portfolio companies further with additional investments. We are very much appreciated for our knowledge in this complex disease area, our connections to the experts, not just for our financing. So that's really the advantage of being a specialty fund. And coming to your questions, the challenges are still that the patients progress, they relapse, and they need novel therapies that ideally address some of the issues in the disease. For instance, many patients ultimately have T cells that are quote unquote getting exhausted and they progress because of that. So therapies that make the T cells keep the cancer in check long-term are really important, and really long-term innovative therapies are very much needed in this disease area.
Yeah, and I can imagine that is obviously one of the challenges as well, to really stay on the cusp in this innovative side of the research. And, you know, looking at that, because you're so focused and you're so specific and you have the specific therapeutic area and you're looking at portfolio companies, I guess two questions. One, do you struggle to find companies, organizations to fund? And then as you become aware of the organizations, what are some of the criteria that you utilize in determining if you're going to fund the organizations?
Luckily, we have no shortage of interesting innovative investment opportunities through our network in the biotech field, but also in the investment community. We are focusing on innovative therapies, so no generics, no repurposing of drugs, but we're focused on, for instance, innovative CAR T. We are also very interested in RNA splicing. We are interested in ADCs or antibody drug conjugates, so a novel way to also target novel types of cancer. So really a vast amount of innovative therapies. Our criteria is that the companies we invest in have to have already a program active in multiple myeloma. And then we can help to progress the therapy with our investments.
And do you also look at organizations that have a multitude of therapeutic areas, potentially in oncology, and that you would just potentially pick one program then? That's also an option. They don't need to be just in myeloma research.
Yes, many of the companies have a portfolio and we invest either in the entire company mm-hmm. or if the company would like to prioritize the multiple myeloma program, we can also specifically designate our funding towards that program, but we don't specify that from the get-go. So our proposal is really to have the whole company being mm-hmm. successful.
Okay, well, let's expand a bit on that. And if we look at the way that various funding companies or VCs engage with their portfolio companies. Some we see are very much involved, sit on the board, very active part of the organizations. However, some are less involved in a more hands-off approach. How do you engage with your portfolio companies? And is there a typical collaboration style?
Fortunately, I have experience having worked in large pharma companies operationally, at biotech companies, at startups, but also on the venture side. So I have both been a board member and I've also worked with boards. And my view here is that you have to really be very strategic here. So operational responsibility lies with the company management, but we at the Myeloma Investment Fund, we have some board roles, we have observer roles, and we also stay very close to our companies by providing advice to them. So it's in different areas. It's on the scientific side because of our specialty and very deep knowledge on the scientific and also clinical side. But we also provide connections to our scientific experts. and to the centers that we are working with, but also on the strategic side. So I have some experience on the portfolio management side and also good contacts to many venture capitalists. So we are introducing our portfolio companies to other investors and provide value in that way beyond just our investment.
So potentially less operational because you do give that to the team and then more from the strategic and the advisory level then.
Yes, but we're all a team and working on it together. And we also discuss challenges and we're finding solutions together.
And one thing that I found really interesting is that when we saw each other in San Francisco, you were in the process of preparing to go visit a site, actually, and sharing. Obviously, I know you can't share the details around that because it is for a particular study, but I'd be curious to hear what was that experience like for you being then that close, seeing patients and being in the clinic?
I had the good fortune to observe one of our physicians and his team during a day at the hospital. And that was both incredibly insightful and also very humbling. I was able to see how the team, and it's really a team, it takes a village, the team of doctors, nurses, physicians, clinicians, researchers prepares for the day. So they look at the patient records that they for the patients that they have to see that day, and the diversity was really very, very insightful. I then had a chance to spend some time with our physician when he was actually seeing the patients, and it was wonderful to see that many of them actually were living for a very long time and with a decent quality of life, but there were also some at the end of their lives. I also saw some minority patients, and there was a translator. So it's really a very diverse set of patients, and to see that it really depends very much on the clinical team to have a positive outcome for the patient was very insightful.
Oh, interesting. And did anything stick out? Because we often hear challenges around putting the trial together, the protocol. How do patients and how do the sites deal with those potential challenges? Because everything is complex, and especially with oncology, of course. Any insights there or things that you take back with you now and think, okay, this is something that I can definitely share with in the next studies or insights in general?
There were trial nurses who were part of the team, so they were very integrated into the whole process, and they were then bringing the information back to their own team. So that was definitely very helpful. Another insight that I would love to share is the health equity aspect. So it's still a challenge that unfortunately minority patients don't experience the same outcomes for a variety of reasons. And that's also something that we at the Multiple Myeloma Research Foundation are working on to help and mitigate. And at the very least, we're very aware of it.
Okay. Yeah, that is definitely a huge, a very significant point. You're right, with health equity. I think that so many organizations are looking how to improve and to have a bigger impact, especially on minority patients. Great. Well, thanks. It must have been really great to be at the site and to have that experience.
And to see how it is really being translated into novel therapies, because I also had a chance to speak with researchers who are working with some of the data. So to see how it was really leading from bench to bedside and back was really insightful as well.
Yeah, fantastic. Great experience. Probably more people should do that. I think that that would have a big impact in general, just how we work. And again, it brings it back to the point of the patients. So key.
Yeah, and it's very important, I think, for the researchers as well, because having worked in large pharma companies, you often you get so involved in the spreadsheets and the mm-hmm. PowerPoint presentations. But having had this experience to meet some of the patients we were able to treat, it puts a face to yeah. the disease. And that was and still is an incredible motivator. So when you, yeah, when you have to work hard on your next PowerPoint presentation, I don't have that in mind. I have the patient's yeah. face in mind. And that's really the North Star. And to provide cures for this patient and all the others with multiple myeloma, that's really what we strive for.
Yeah, that's great. Great story. So if you look at the MIF's approach to funding companies, I mean, you've been, I think you said 5 years for the fund, correct? Obviously, the organization has been around for 25 years, but the fund has been around for around 5 years. And interested to hear, in that period of time and kind of looking forward, has your funding and the way that you approach portfolio companies and the organizations that you look for, has that changed?
We're trying to be at the forefront of innovation, and the therapies that are being developed are also advancing. So what I would say what has changed is the complexity has mm-hmm. changed. So there's many, many more therapies for the clinicians to choose from. So the clinicians now have to be almost like chess players. They have to think in advance, what is the therapy I'm going to give to this patient? Not just at first line, second line, but in third, fourth, fifth, and maybe even later lines. So the decision, both on the side of the clinicians, but also the researchers and also investors, that has changed. We have seen amazing advancements on the CAR-T side. There's now several generations of CAR-T therapies. Some are on the market, but there's still innovation in this field. And having personally done my PhD in the lab of a Nobel Prize winner on RNA, I'm very excited to also see RNA splicing, making it not just into research, but also into the clinic. So I would say the biggest change is the complexity, and that's also why a specialty fund like ours is so important to really know the landscape, and that's also what we do with our portfolio companies, and I believe this is why we're being valued by them and by our fellow investors, because we really know the landscape very well. We can help to consult on the clinical trial development, on the competitive positioning, and being a specialty investor, we are really being valued for our knowledge in this area.
I can imagine. And for the portfolio companies that you're working with, the value to them is immense. Thinking about the network, the KOLs, the knowledge base that you have must just be invaluable for them. So moving on from that, I mean, in the industry too, you know, you talked about the industry trends that are happening. Is there anything else? You mentioned CAR-T? There's a lot of things happening in the industry in this space as well. Is there one that you're particularly more interested in funding or looking at, or is it again, in general, innovation?
It's like picking your favorite child yeah. in a way. there's so many very, very cool novel therapies. Just having seen CAR-T advance in the way that it has advanced, both on the scientific side, on the design of the CARs, but also, as I mentioned before, the importance of really devising a therapy that can reliably and over a longer period of time develop memory T cells. So that's mm-hmm. the big issue here still, that the T cells are getting exhausted. Initially, they are able to fight the cancer, but that sort of wanes over time. So having that maintained for a longer time, that's in many ways the holy grail. There's obviously other advancements as well, but if I had to pick one, that would probably be the pinnacle.
Okay, thanks. So your favorite child, you're right, that's a tough one. You know, when we talk about success of portfolio companies and funding organizations, you know, we think about exits, we think about collaborations, But when you look at the success of your portfolio companies, how do you measure that success?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question, because it's very important to have criteria by which you measure success. So I'm a very quantitative person, and I believe very much into setting goals and evaluating your progress. For us, the North Star is really to eventually provide a cure for multiple myeloma patients. And with that, we are very happy that four of our companies have now multiple myeloma projects in clinical trials. So that's definitely one of the most important criteria for us. The exit options really depend a little bit on the economic environment. You might know that currently the biotech environment is improving. At JP Morgan, there was cautious optimism after the last 2 years where we haven't seen a lot of early stage funding for startups and a lot of exits in the form of IPOs or acquisitions or even collaborations with pharma companies. We are starting to see more of that. The general economic environment is also starting to improve. Interest rates are stable and might even go down still this year. So we're cautiously optimistic that the IPO window might open again and provide other exit opportunities for our and other portfolio companies. But again, for us, the most important criteria is, are the companies able to advance their research projects into actual clinical trials and then ultimately into successful treatments for multiple myeloma patients?
That is the biggest success. You're absolutely right. We tend to look at the monetary side of things, but ultimately, you're right. It is the patients and the cure that we're moving towards.
And the two are really not mutually exclusive. If we develop really good therapies that are able to treat the patients, there will also be financial success that we can then use to reinvest that into hopefully even better treatments for the patients. So there's really no quote unquote conflict of interest here for me. You need to do both.
Both. Absolutely. Yeah,
that's such a good point. Drug development research is very, very costly. Yeah, it takes about, it takes a couple of billions per successful drug, and there's many, many, many failures. So about 1 in 10,000 early stage research projects makes it to the market successfully, is being approved, is being reimbursed. So for all of this, you then also need a financial return.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that so many individuals, especially not in our industry, just aren't aware of that, the investment, the time, the years that it takes, and how many fail, to your point, for one to be successful. So true.
Yeah, and the immense intellectual capacity you need to pivot if you have a negative experimental result. That's also what we are trying to do with our portfolio companies. If something doesn't go as planned, then we learn from it. And we help to devise a plan that hopefully will be successful for all involved.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And if you look into the future, if you had your crystal ball, where do you think that myeloma research is heading in the next years?
So I'm making a very bold prediction here. So with the complexity of multiple myeloma that we're seeing, so patients have a number of different mutations, translocations, they have very different outcomes. I would predict that if we speak again on the podcast in 5 years, multiple myeloma will not be one disease, but several diseases. If you remember just a few years ago, lung cancer was lung cancer, but now you have non-small cell lung cancer, you have small cell lung cancer, you have ALK positive, EGFR positive. So many different types that you can also target with targeted therapies in a precision medicine type of therapy. So I believe we will learn much more about multiple myeloma, how to diagnose the patients better and how to treat them better. So that's for the multiple myeloma field. But I hope that our fund is going to grow, both in terms of size, but also in terms of portfolio companies that we can help to advance these therapies into the clinic, that we can partner with pharma companies who can then advance the clinical trials and provide the marketing expertise that they have, and that we ultimately will be able to provide a cure for as many multiple myeloma patients as possible.
Absolutely. That is the ultimate goal. And I'm assuming that your vision to be part of that, obviously, is to be able to invest in more and more as the organization continues to grow and evolve.
Of course. And it will obviously be easier if we have success and if we can reinvest the proceeds from our exits into other hopefully successful companies. So that's really what, why we're striving to build an evergreen fund that can then support itself. But we're also incredibly thankful to our donors who are incredibly instrumental at making all of this happen, and also to our scientific advisors, to our board members who provide so much great input. Some of them, or many of them, are really touched by multiple myeloma themselves or through their families, and that provides such an important motivation for us to strive to that ultimate goal of a therapy that cures multiple myeloma.
To your point, we forget about some of those people as well, right? It does take a village to bring success. And it sounds like you have a strong village behind you.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, that's where we, as the Myeloma Investment Fund, benefit from the expertise of the Multiple Myeloma Research Foundation, but also our KOLs, the researchers we're close to, and the centers we're working with.
Yeah. Fantastic. Oh, thanks. This has been really, really insightful. And if anyone, if any organizations are interested in speaking with you, we'll definitely have your details available. So I think feel free to reach out.
Of course. Yeah. Very, very happy to speak with you and tell you a little bit more about many, many other topics, the emergence of so many other philanthropic funds, and also the fact that more and more women are also on the investment side. So I'm very, very glad to report that my associate is also female, and building a female-led investment fund is also really a joy to contribute to female entrepreneurship.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, that's something that's definitely close to both of our hearts, right? We spend a lot of time also, I know you do a lot as well on this topic, and I volunteer also because this is just crucial for the future. So we want to get more and more young girls and women moving forward because that has to be the future.
Yeah, we want to provide some role models here, and personally, I'm also involved in the W20, which is the women's organization of the G20, and bringing more women into entrepreneurship and also into STEM, and really showing them that this is not only possible, but really a great success, because we are 50% of the world's population.
Absolutely.
And, we're really driving a lot of the outcomes here. So very excited to contribute to that.
Thanks for what you're doing and what the organization is doing. It's crucial and incredible to hear the details around, a specialty fund, because we do hear a lot of, we've talked to lots of organizations and they have a wide portfolio reach. And so it's been really interesting to hear your approach and the way that you work with your organizations and help to support them and bring success. I have another question. Hopefully it's okay that I go there. When we met, you had a violin on your back. you were about to go and practice to act, with some, I think some individuals, in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, you're also going to be at ASCO. I think you're going to play something there. I don't know if that's a C. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that's not a secret. We'll have to cut that out if it's not known.
No. I hope it will not stay a secret. We can very much talk about this.
Yeah. So you spend your time playing the violin and also with some colleagues also in the industry, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So first of all, thank you, Sabina, for the opportunity to talk a little bit more about the Myeloma Investment Fund. And very, very happy to anybody who wants more information, if they reach out to speak with them. The violin has been part of my life since I was 5 years old. I am a professional level violinist, grew up in Berlin, Germany. And when I was 10, I got into a youth orchestra and then have played at a professional level with professionals pretty much all over the world, played with the Boston Philharmonics and Carnegie Hall. And music is something that's very close to my heart because it provided so many learning opportunities for me. I'm very, very comfortable being on stage, speaking, presenting. I've very much learned about time management through all of that. And I saw, even as a young teenager, so many countries and worked with international people, which was, which really instilled in me this curiosity for different countries and cultures that I've kept up to this day, speak several languages. And this is, for me, music is also a way how people can grow together. Mm-hmm. And that's also, even though I still play at a professional level and play with individuals, but also in orchestras, but I'm more and more thinking about this as a connector for me. So music touches very, very deep sides of everybody's heart. But there's different types of music. I'm a classically trained violinist, but there's so much wonderful modern music. And through that, I play more and more with bands. And I played at a band at Bio. And I'm very excited that I'm now playing with the Checkpoints, which is the Sitsi house band. And it plays at ASCO and also at Sitsi. And that's going to be in Houston. I'm going to be the Texas fiddler there. And
it's well, everyone that's going to be there, then they'll get to see you live. Fantastic.
I hope you can come. And music is such a it's such a wonderful connector, and I'm excited to connect with all the amazing Nobel Prize winners on the band and with the audience members, and providing music also for patients. I'm super excited about that.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, nice story. Thanks for sharing that. So I'm sure you'll end up in some YouTube video, because I'm sure people will be recording that. Then we'll have to make sure that we watch that when it comes out.
Yeah, definitely. The band already has a website. I'm not in it yet, but hopefully relatively soon.
Yeah, fantastic. Again, what an inspiration, the variety, a scientist, a violinist, and a financial expert. So incredible. We can do it all.
We can do the things we love, we can do them very well. That's one of my most important learnings. It's about trying to be the best you can be. And having been blessed with a lot of different qualities, I'm really trying to be the best connector in music I can be, trying to be the best investor in multiple myeloma companies that I can be. It's not so much about comparing myself. Of course, I'm competitive, and I also try to be that in a comparative way, but it's really about doing the best for all of those around me. So having tried being academically excellent, but also on the business side, but always trying to keep the most important outcome in mind, which is providing a cure for patients in multiple myeloma. That's really the North Star here.
Well, thank you. Thanks for sharing your North Star with us and sharing a bit about yourself and the organization. Wishing you a wonderful weekend ahead. And let's see, maybe in a few years we have to get together again and do a recap and see how things have shifted and changed in this therapeutic area.
I'm sure they will. That's the only constant that is change. But being a lover of change and being supported by so many amazing professionals, and also by people like you who I had the fortune to meet and also meet in person in San Francisco, who is helping us to spread our story. I'm really appreciative of that, and hope to connect through that with many others who can help us to fulfill our mission of providing a cure for multiple myeloma patients.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Stephanie.
We hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Cut the Chat, Life Science Insider. Make sure you're following SUSE Plus on LinkedIn and be the first to know about upcoming podcasts. See you again soon.